Geek Free with Simon O'Connor. Fridays at 10 a.m. right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, in recent days, the government has announced three new human rights commissioners, but two in particular have attracted the ire of those you might call progressive or woke or left-wing. These are all my terms. But Dr. Melissa Derby, who's to be our new race relations commissioner, and Dr. Stephen Rainbow, who's to be the human rights commissioner, as I say, have both attracted opprobrium from some quarters because they hold views. Putting it pretty simply, they hold some views which don't seem to fit with, as I say, the progressives. So I thought we'd bring in our friend, Jonathan Aylin from the Free Speech Union, to have a little bit of a chat, not so much about the personalities, but about the reaction to these new people in these roles in the Human Rights Commission. So, Jonathan, welcome back.
Thank you, Chair.
Well, firstly, probably for the sake of clarity, we better acknowledge that you know Dr. Melissa Derby. She's had a bit to do with the Free Speech Union. Is that right?
She has indeed. In fact, she was a founding member of the Free Speech Union some years ago and has been on our council up until this year. In fact, she relatively recently resigned. I know her so well. I might just note for your listeners, it's spelt Derby, it's pronounced Derby. She would like to have that set straight on the record. So Melissa Derby has worked as a senior lecturer at the University of Waikato for quite some time, and I find her to be an entirely respectable, serious, thoughtful woman. The public response and the commentary on this will, in many ways, Simon, it's reduced to one thing. They disagree with her on trans rights. And because of that, she is deemed to be a person non grata. She is entirely inappropriate for this role, they would claim. And I think it is really indicative of the state of public debates generally, but more specifically, the role that certain institutions, which should be leading the charge and championing basic rights, are actually playing in undermining these basic freedoms. And I would probably want to try and say two things with respect to the way Melissa Derby has been welcomed into her role. I think it is actually a problem that even perceived politicization is occurring here. Unlike others, and perhaps you or some of your listeners may think this, I actually think a human rights commission in and of itself is probably a good thing. It's good to have an institution that is backed to stand up for basic human rights. I am a believer in the inherent dignity of every person and the incredibly unique contribution that the Western world and enlightenment has made to the way that we view the individual rights of every person. And I think it is good to have a body that stands up for those. And where one side or the other feels that has been politicized, that is an issue. Certainly in the past, the Free Speech Union viewed the previous Chief Human Rights Commissioner as entirely politicizing the commission, and that was a problem. So we should work as hard as we can, even just to address the perception of politicization. That's one thing. The other thing, though, is when a commission is perceived to be political because it is doing its fundamental purpose, we've got a real trouble on our hands. And I think that's what's happening here. Why there is perceived politicization is because Melissa Derby and her new boss, Stephen Rainbow, are dedicated to speech rights, which are the foundation of human rights and the modern liberal human rights framework that we have. And so we must not back down on that at all. And even where that does allegedly politicize the Human Rights Commission, it is because a portion of our society has actually entirely fallen out with the idea that basic individual rights should be afforded to every person, and chief amongst those should be the right to speak and the right to think. And so this actually, the reception here may seem like a bit of a Twitter spat or an online issue that it's just one side yelling at the other. I think it is indicative of a very serious problem that we have, that actually human rights are no longer widely accepted amongst some portions of our population.
Which was the key reason to bring you on. And actually, the first thing you've illustrated is how free speech works. So I mispronounced her name. I used my speech. And then you used your speech to correct me. And now we have it right, Dr. Melissa Derby. So actually, if you're speaking to her or she's listening in, apologies. But there's free speech in action. But I think what you've illustrated for me, and feel free to comment, is that the Human Rights Commission, in the way that it's, I would argue, pretty much operated to date, the way that certain people in mainstream media and some politicians are reacting to these appointments shows that it's not really about human rights. It's around particular views on particular issues. So I know the Labour Party says, well, Dr. Rainbow and Dr. Darby don't have the correct views on race and gender, whereas actually human rights is about freedom of speech, life, Brina, it's always a pretty important one, right to life, freedom of worship, freedom of your health choices, all these things. The commission seems obsessed, as do the people attacking Melissa and Stephen, obsessed with particular issues rather than, if you will, human rights issues.
That's absolutely correct. And I think what illustrates that point very clearly is a tweet that Fleur Fitzsimons, the Wellington City Councillor and Labour candidate, posted the night that these appointments were made public. She said that the human rights exists to protect certain portions of our community from hate. And these commissioners now are the very ones perpetrating this hate. And we couldn't help ourselves but go back and say, hang on a second, Fleur. The Human Rights Commission actually exists to defend human rights. It's right there in the name. Just have a look. And you're absolutely right that what a number of actors and even commissioners previously in this organization have done is use the crucial and important body of understanding with respect to human rights and the public investment that exists there, and has actually, and this may sound a bit conspiratorial, but I think it's true, have actually used that as a Trojan horse to import a whole lot of substantive perspectives, saying that if you stand up for basic human rights, you have to think this way on this issue. And that is untrue. The only issues that we have to agree on is that every human has dignity, and that dignity is imbued to them as individuals, not as part of collectives, and that it gives them the right to be free from the undue abuse from others. And that relates to thought, that relates to speech, that it relates to bodily autonomy, that relates to not having genocide perpetrated against us. That is what human rights are about. And if we try, and I think we're doing this with quite a few issues at the moment, if we try and make what have previously been widely accepted limited concepts in our society, if we make them bear the weight of only our political perspective incumbent on them as well, then actually we will lose public support for these fundamental questions. Human rights is one of them. Democracy, frankly, Simon, is another. That if democracy has to mean X, Y, Z for these particular policies as well, actually what you're doing is we're making the circle smaller and smaller of who will actually agree with us on these positions. And it's dangerous for the prospect that we have of living in a peaceful, stable, inclusive society, inclusive in that true term of allowing for difference, not actually stamping difference out.
Yeah, well, I've been on the record in the past of pointing out, I think I might have even said it to someone in the Human Rights Commission, that they actually wouldn't know a human right if it hit them over the head, because they have divorced from, you know, the classical notion of rights that all people have, to getting caught up in very political issues, which makes the Green Party comments that the commissioners need to be politically neutral quite ironic. But I think you've summed it up quite well, that in many ways the reactions are showing that things are only a right if you agree with the likes of the left or progressives, and to be fair, some on the right as well. And things are only democratic if we get our way, rather than actually there's a broad range of views on the issues of race, gender. I know, you know, the new commissioner is under fire because he's got particular views on the Israel-Gaza conflict. Well, you know, breaking news people, there isn't just one view. There's a lot of views. And as he's pointed out, and I think, you know, I'm sure supported by you guys at the Free Speech Union, is he says we need more dialogue. And yet we're seeing people trying to shut him, Melissa and others down.
No, that's right. And certainly your comments there with regards to, frankly, it's just blatant hypocrisy. That's what it is that comes from actors on one end of the political spectrum is quite obvious. I would also suggest that let's also look at comments from the likes of the Prime Minister, where every time almost that I've seen him talk about human rights, he has also said, and yes, and they come with responsibilities as well. And I think that's actually quite a dangerous narrative, where unless you are conducting yourself in accordance with my perception on one end, you don't get basic rights. And I can see that we all have the duty to operate as responsible members of a society. But if I choose to operate as an irresponsible member, that does not mean I get my rights taken away from me excessively, like the right to free speech, certainly not the right to life. And so I think probably this comes from both ends of the political spectrum, and there needs to be a much stronger principled voice to challenge it. I deeply hope that Dr. Rainbow and Dr. Darby are two of those voices.
Yeah, and I think that's actually really important to draw out, because I saw one of the Prime Minister's comments was saying, oh, well, he's got confidence in these new commissioners, but he has to be careful about how he manages things. It's like, well, actually, free speech obviously comes with, you've got to have some thought, but it seems to imply that, again, there's just areas you shouldn't touch on because it will offend certain groups. And you go, that's not the point. So I think it's just important to draw that out. Hey, quickly, you guys have just published your annual report, and obviously it's worth reading the whole thing, but what's a couple of highlights to sort of coax listeners in to looking up your website and having a read?
Well, I feel pretty chuffed, if I can say that, Simon. In just 3 years since incorporating as a union and setting up shop, the Free Speech Union has become the largest organization in the country speaking out for the foundational liberty of human rights, which is free speech. And this is our third annual report, and it's a lot of work to get these out, but it represents a lot of work that has been done as well. And I think across the four work streams that we focus on, we have cases, campaigns, content, and coaching. Across our four work streams, the one that I'm probably almost always proudest of is the cases that we stand with. And you know, often that is more defensive. It's more, it's not as proactive, but these are people who have stood up and expressed their heartfelt opinion, used their legal rights, and have faced bullies as a result. And whether it's the three cases at the moment of wrongful arrests that we're facing for people who have actually faced our state's law enforcement, or whether it's employees that we're standing up with in the Employment Relations Authority, or whether it's city councils that we're taking to court over decisions to ban newspapers, what that work streams represent is actually are the individuals out there facing the consequences for standing up for what they believe is right. And I'm proud to stand with them. They are heroes in my mind. And, you know, of course, the successes that we've had stopping the government and implementing the largest online regulation regime for censorship that we'd ever known, or changes to hate speech laws, or the work we're doing in universities, the schools, of course, that matters deeply. But I think those are the people that I think of as the true heroes of our work.
Well, can I just add one more, and that's you guys as well, the voice that you're giving to those people, the support, the encouragement, and actually standing up for, you know, the most, I would argue, well, one of the most, let's get a bit nuanced, one of the most important and fundamental human rights to speak free. So, Jonathan of the Free Speech Union, thanks so much for joining us.
Cheers.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.